What's up, everybody? I am Jesse from Plant the Spear, and thank you for tuning in to another episode. This is going to be our schedule breakdown of the 2023 Florida State Seminoles football schedule now that it has officially been released in its final stage. You know, we already knew the teams that they were going to play. We just didn't know the order, and that's obviously important. You know, you have back-to-back road games, when's your bye week, things like that. So it really is kind of important to wait for that to come out. Now, at the same time, what we'll do, how I plan on doing this, is we will start with just some general thoughts of the schedule, and then we'll roll into a game-by-game kind of thoughts on how things are going to go, and then we'll close out with kind of just what I feel like is going to be a good season for Florida State, what we're kind of looking for here from my point of view anyway. So to start with, just some general thoughts on the schedule, I don't really think it's bad. You know, I think a lot of people, no matter how you schedule, how it breaks down, people are going to think you got screwed one way or the other. That's just the way it is. People got to find something to complain about. I really don't have a problem with the way the schedule lays out. And I think one of the biggest things that people were kind of upset about is having two challenging games in the month of September. Now, to me, that's not a problem. And I'll tell you why. So first off, I think that LSU is going to be a huge blockbuster matchup. We already know that. Both teams should come into the season top 10. And I think the reason that that it's important more than anything is I think the Florida State hype train for 2023 is full steam ahead right now. And I think people are kind of waiting for this LSU game to validate that hype. You know, if they come out and they win that game, I think people are going to be like, okay, this team really is for real. They could really make some noise because LSU is going to be a better team or should be a better team in year two under Brian Kelly than they were last year. And so it is a high risk, high reward type of game. So, you know, if you win this game, you're going to put yourself probably as a top four team already kind of in that running for the playoffs. And you know, if you end up going into October at 4-0 with beating Clemson on the road and LSU, and Clemson's, you know, they're probably going to be around top 10 as well, then you really put yourself in a position to be able to make the playoffs at the end of the year if you can avoid any slip ups. At the same time, the reason I don't mind it being front loaded like this is you do leave yourself a little bit of room for error. Obviously, the way the ACC scheduled Clemson and Florida State early in the season, it sounds like they plan on Florida State and Clemson meeting again in the ACC championship later in the season. So the thing for me is, if you think back to last year with LSU, they lost to Florida State, as we know, in the opener. And then just a couple weeks later, they got housed by Tennessee at home. But before they had a really kind of embarrassing loss in the last game of the season to a bad Texas A&M team, they were still ranked number five. They were still in a position to make the playoffs. Now, the difference is Florida State doesn't have that Alabama on the schedule that LSU had last year to kind of boost your resume if you were to have that slip-up game. But at the same time, being as front-loaded, you have time to recover because Florida State's also going to start as a, you know, like we said, probably a top 10 team. So if you were to lose just one of those two games, you're probably not going to fall that far because it's going to be against another high-ranked team. So I don't really mind the schedule. I wish the bye week would have been a little bit later in the year, but I also don't hate it where it's at because you're going to be coming off preseason camp. You're going to be coming off a really hard month of September, you know, a trip all the way up to Boston, a trip to Clemson, two hard-fought physical games against the two toughest teams on your schedule. And I think that gives you time to kind of recover and refocus for the end of the season or, you know, the rest of the regular season slate. And just in case you slip up, it kind of gives you a chance to refresh and things like that. So I don't really mind the bye week being where it is. I know it's not the most ideal. It would have been nice to have it before Clemson, but, you know, the ACC is not really going to do Florida State a whole lot of favors anyway. So I don't really mind that. I think if you can get to October at 3-1, 4-0, and if the 3-1 is a hard-fought loss, like say Florida State comes out and loses to Clemson on the road or loses to LSU or something, and it's a really close game where, you know, it's not like he got blown out or anything like that, then I still think you have you feel really good about being able to kind of run the table at the end of the season. So I don't think the schedule is bad at all. I think you get battle tested early and then you get a chance to kind of get some games where you can get the starters on the bench after halftime, kind of rest some guys up. So maybe not having a second bye week isn't a huge deal if you have some games that you can dominate and get your starters off the field to rest them. You know, and someone commented on social media when I posted the schedule about, well, if you lose to Florida, or excuse me, if you lose to LSU and Clemson early like that, your playoff chances are probably out the window. To me, the reason I disagree with what that person said was, if Florida State's trying to make the playoffs, if you're trying to win the ACC, if they're trying to have the season they want in 2023, if you lose to LSU and Clemson, I don't think you're really worried about the playoffs. You know, if you lose both of those games, do you really want to go play Georgia in the playoffs, Alabama in the playoffs? Probably not. So I think it's better to be a battle-tested team going into the playoffs where you're going to play good teams. You know, you don't want to end up like a TCU where maybe you didn't play that tough of a schedule. You didn't play those elite teams. You know, they had a difficult schedule over the course of the entire season, but they really didn't play anybody elite. And so if you're playing teams, you know, you don't want to get caught off guard because, you know, Georgia has a weak schedule. They're probably going to be back. So you're going to probably end up facing them if you make it that far. And so I like the idea of being battle tested early in the season. You know, Pitt's probably going to be a little bit tough too. So you may have like one more ranked game the rest of the season. So we'll just have to see how that goes. But, you know, as the guy who built our program, Bobby Bowden, always says, anyone, anytime, any place, you can't be scared of competition at a place like Florida State. You can't come into a season with the expectations that you have and be worried about a team like Wake Forest and things like that. So to me, you know, it's time to put your money where your mouth is. You put all your chips into 2023. And so I think, you know, you have a chance to really elevate yourself in the month of September. So with that being said, we're just going to run through the general layout of the schedule real quick before we get into the game to game so we can kind of keep this in a manageable time frame here. So looking at the schedule here, and if you guys would like to download the schedule graphic, it is available on our social media channels as well as our website if you just want to have that to keep. I also put a lock screen for your phone with the schedule on it on our social media if you want to grab that too, just to kind of, you know, have something to keep up with the schedule. So anyway, getting started here, we do know that Florida State, of course, takes on LSU in Orlando on September 3rd, a Sunday game, which that's one thing I will comment on real quick. You know, Florida State had games on. We had two Friday games, a Saturday game, Saturday games, and a Sunday game last year. This year, LSU is the only non-Saturday game. So it is nice to kind of get back to that regular college football rhythm of having your games on Saturday. But then you get a short week game coming up against Southern Miss. Then they do travel to Boston College as well as Clemson back-to-back. That is a little concerning for me there, just having that long road trip. I hope Boston College is an early game so they can kind of get back to Tallahassee and get prepared for Clemson. Then you get three straight home games, Virginia Tech, Syracuse, and Duke. Then you travel to Wake Forest and Pitt back-to-back. You get Miami at home, which is a little surprising how late in the year they put Miami. Then you get a tune-up game, obviously, the cupcake at the later end of the season with North Alabama there. And then you get Florida in the swamp to close out the regular season game. And then hopefully you get hopefully you have an ACC championship coming up right behind that. So that's just a general layout of the schedule. And now we'll kind of transition into our just kind of a game-by-game thoughts I have on the schedule. So, of course, starting with LSU, last year LSU finishes 10-4. They had the fifth hardest strength of schedule. So, you know, they definitely didn't have an easy road. They finished 28th in total offense and 41st in total defense. Obviously, you're going to assume that they would be better in year two under Brian Kelly. They do return Jaden Daniels. Of course, we did see what the backup Garrett Nussmeier did to that Georgia secondary in the SEC championship game. So they may have a quarterback competition on their hands there. Walker Howard, their third guy, did transfer out. So I think it's going to be them two battling out for the starting job there. Of course, they don't have Kayshon Boutte this year. We won't get into what happened there. But I think this is going to be, like I said, man, this is going to be one of the blockbuster games in all of college football. This is a heavyweight bout. This is going to be two top 10 teams going at it. And I am so excited to see this game play out. You know, last year, I think the game really should have ended around 35-17. Florida State had control of that game for three quarters before they kind of let some things slip away. Now, the thing that you look at this year is Florida State doesn't get that week zero tune-up game that they had against Duquesne and that they had last year. But when I went on a LSU radio show last year to break down, you know, preview Florida State for them in this matchup, they asked me, do I think that was a big advantage for Florida State? And I said that, you know, I do think it's an advantage to get that tune-up game just to kind of get in rhythm because you had a lot of new transfers. I don't really think it's as big of a deal this year because you're going to have a team that has played a lot of games together. They're experienced together. Now you have some new pieces on the offensive line that need to get in sync and things like that. So, you know, there could be some things there. But at the same time, Florida State also didn't have the advantage of being able to break down film on LSU because you had Brian Kelly and Jaden Daniels who have, you know, were both new to LSU. You really had zero film to go off of. So it would have been hard to game plan with new coordinators and new systems and all that. So I think it's going to be more advantageous this year for Florida State to have that film than to maybe have that week zero tune-up game against Duquesne. So I don't really see that as being much of a problem there. I will say kind of how I always worded this game this year was, I think last year, Florida State caught LSU at a good time. You caught them after a week zero tune-up game without them having that same, you know, that same little advantage there to get in sync under a brand new coaching staff. This year, I think it's more of LSU catching Florida State at a bad time because Florida State is, you know, they look like they're going to be really good this year. They're bringing back a lot of veterans. They've added a lot of guys through the portal, you know, so I think that Florida State is just going to be the better team this year. Jaden Daniels is coming back, but I still think you have advantage at quarterback there. You know, the thing about Florida State now, like we mentioned in the last episode, is you have added enough guys where you have competitive depth now. You have familiarity in the system. You know, look at your offensive line. You could have guys who have significant Power 5 experience as depth pieces. Whereas before you had maybe some second string guys from another Power 5 program or, you know, group of five guys or something like that, that were your starters. Now I think you have that more quality depth. So I do think Florida State is a better, deeper team than they were last year. And I think that's going to help pay off for Florida State. You know, I can't necessarily, I want to wait for some things to kind of the dust to settle on transfer portal and things like that. Is Florida State going to go get another safety or something like to replace Jamie Robinson before I just make a prediction on the game? I'm not really trying to predict the games this early. There's a lot of things that need to play out, but I do feel like Florida State can win this game. Obviously, you're going to be in Orlando. You're going to have a little bit of a home field advantage. You know, Florida State was able, you know, the fans showed up. We took over New Orleans last year. It was an amazing trip, a fun time. And it was a 50-50 crowd in the Superdome. I definitely see Florida State having the home field advantage a little bit. I'm in Orlando. I still think this was a huge missed opportunity to not have a home-and-home series. You know, how awesome would it have been to see these guys play in Death Valley last year and then Doak Campbell this year? It would have been huge. I think they missed the mark there. But I still think you get a little bit of a home field advantage. So I do like FSU to be able to win this game. But this is going to be, to me, this is your second hardest game on the schedule. And I would say if it was a true road game, it would probably be your hardest. Because I do think LSU is probably going to be maybe a little better than Clemson is as a team next year. But I think you just playing Clemson on the road in the other Death Valley. I don't know which one you want to consider the real Death Valley. I think that's going to be a little bit of a challenge there. So then getting into game two, Southern Miss, you welcome them into Doak Campbell Stadium on a short week. I mean, there's not a whole lot to say about some of these lesser games. You know, they do have Frank Gore Jr., who is a very talented back for them. But, you know, Miami was able to beat them 30-7 last year, and Miami was a dumpster fire, and you were able to blow out Miami. So I think you'll be able to handle your business here, even on a short week. So that's, you know, there's not much else to say about that. They did finish 7-6 last year with a strength of schedule at the 97th in the country. Total offense was 100th and total defense was 59th. So I do like Florida State to handle their business there before they take a trip up to Boston College for game three. Of course, we know Boston College was an absolute train wreck last year. Now, they had a lot of issues on the offensive line. I don't know if they're going to be recovered from that yet. You know, how many of those guys are going to come back? How many are going to attrition out? I'll have to do a little more research on when we get closer to the season about how these teams did in the portal. But they went 3-9 last year. You beat them 44-14. It was an absolute domination. The good thing is here too, you avoid that cold weather game because it shouldn't be cold in September up there. So I do like that. I think that's a bit of an advantage for Florida State to not have to bring a bunch of Florida kids up to play in a cold weather game there. So their strength of schedule last year was 72nd. So they did bad against a pretty weak strength of schedule. Total offense was 121st. And again, we know that had a lot to do with their offensive line issues. But at the same time, You also took their two best players in Phil Dracovic, who is now transferred to Pitt, and you'll see him later in the season, and Zay Flowers is no longer there. So you've taken their two best offensive weapons away from them, who, when they already had the 121st best offense. So I don't think they're going to really be able to take much of a step forward there this year. Defense for Boston College wasn't bad. They were 68th in the country, and they had a lot of veteran guys. Like Jane Large Woodby, who was a former Florida State transfer, and some of those guys probably aren't going to be there this year. So, again, this is another one that I do think Florida State is going to be able to handle their business. I don't think it's going to be close. Like I said, the good in this game, I think, is you avoid a cold weather game late in the season, like sometimes you typically get with Boston College. The bad of this game to me is it's just a long road trip right before Clemson, and that I don't really like, just because it. You know, that's a long way to travel and things like that. So that's really the only thing there. Now, I will say one thing on BC. They do play two cupcakes prior to FSU. And like I always talk about, the order of the schedule matters. Who they play before and, you know, the bye weeks and how things set up. You know, not a single team gets a bye week before they play Florida State this year. So I do feel like that's another little advantage for Florida State. But when you look at they're playing two cupcakes right before Florida State, it's going to be a huge jump in level of competition. So, you know, I mean, the first time they really get punched in the face, you know, it's like Mike Tyson. I think it was Mike Tyson always says, you know, you can have the greatest plan in the world till you get punched in the face, and it's everything's out the window. So, you know, once you get that real step up in competition, I think Florida State's, you know, going to kind of give them a dose of reality. And I think they'll be able to handle that one pretty well there. So game four, this is the big one. And I understand that LSU is also a big one too, but you know, Clemson, this is just a balance of power in the ACC that you're trying to take back. And this one is huge. This is one that you really just kind of want to take the conference back, because I know a lot of people in the grand scheme of things talk about Florida State should go undefeated this year. Florida State should win a national championship this year. I mean, look, guys, it's hard to go undefeated. You know, I made an example the other day on social media. Florida, the Gators have been playing football for 110 years and never had a undefeated season. It's hard. And it's hard to win a national championship. You know, Alabama has probably more 5-stars on the bench than Florida State had on their roster right now currently. So, and they didn't even make the playoffs last year. So I don't feel like if Florida State misses the mark on winning a national championship, they still can't have a successful season. I think if you can get to double-digit wins in the regular season, win an ACC championship, and make the Orange Bowl, then I feel like that's still a really successful season for Florida State. Of course, you know, they did push their chips in on 2023, so you would like to see them make the playoffs and at least have that chance to win the national title. But, you know, I don't think it's going to be a disappointment if they were to finish something, you know, like 11 regular season wins with an ACC title and an Orange Bowl appearance. And all that starts with Clemson, because, you know, you don't have any divisions anymore, so you may have to play Clemson twice. Now, to me, the reason I say this is the hardest game on the schedule, you know, Florida State has not won in Death Valley since 2013. It's been almost a decade. No ACC team has beat Clemson at home since 2016, when Pitt upset them. I know South Carolina ended their 40-game home win streak last year in Death Valley, but, I mean, they won 40 home games in a row. So it's just a hard place to win. I understand. I feel like Florida State has closed the gap on Clemson. You know, we all probably agree with that, because you've seen on the scoreboard that things have gotten a lot closer. The problem is, you know, it's just a hard place to win in Death Valley. And the one thing I will say, this is why I like getting Clemson early in the season, because when you look at next year, when you look at Clemson's squad, they are going to be breaking in a relatively new quarterback. Now, I know Klubnik has some experience, but he looked like a freshman in the Orange Bowl against Tennessee. He looked like he was not ready for the big stage. And you just don't have that experienced guy coming in for them. You know, they don't have the Trevor Lawrence. They don't have the Deshaun Watson. They don't have even DJ this year, who is an experienced guy who's used to running that offense. Now, of course, he'll have some experience and another year of offseason to prepare. But you saw he got rattled in the Tennessee game. So I do like them getting Clemson early in the season, because not only are you going to be breaking in Klubnik a little bit, you're also going to have a new offensive coordinator that they're going to be breaking in. So, you know, a new quarterback in a new system, you could get a little bit of learning curve there. The other thing is they start with Duke, which, you know, I mean, I don't know how hard that is. I know Duke won 9 games last year, but, you know, how we're going to get into that in a minute, why I think that there's a little bit of smoke and mirrors there. But the thing is, when you look at the next 2 games, I think they play something like Charleston Southern and Florida Atlantic right after that. So just like we talked about with Boston College, you are going to get that level of competition that is like a straight up ramp. You know, Florida State is by far going to be better than any of the first 3 teams they play. So you may have a chance to come out and hit them in the mouth early and set the tone on that game, just having a big jump in competition. Whereas Florida State will already kind of be battle tested from having the LSU game. So, like I said, I do kind of like getting this game early. You have a bye week afterwards, so you can kind of just lay it all on the line there. You know, so that's kind of where I'm at with Clemson. I think if you feel like Florida State had a chance to beat Clemson at home, this is going to be the year. So I think it's crucial that they go up there and handle their business. But, you know, this could be one of the games that if I had to pick one on the schedule that they might drop, this would probably be it. But I do think, you know, with them not having divisions this year, you can avenge this loss later in the season in the ACC championship game. So you can still rebound. But this is going to be, to me, one of your hardest games on the schedule just because of where it's at. But I do like Florida State to be able – I think Florida State can beat them. I really do. I think they can go up and beat them in Death Valley. It's just, again, guys, that's a hard place to play. And one of the things that concerns me most about Clemson is – a lot of people are telling FSU how good they're going to be next year. A lot of people at the same time are telling Dabo the walls are closing in, there's cracks in the foundation, and they're not wrong. You know, but sometimes when you put someone's back against the wall, you just kind of worry a little bit. You know what I mean? You just kind of you give them in that underdog mentality, and that's the only thing that kind of makes me a little nervous about that game there. So then we'll transition into game 5. Florida State gets Virginia Tech at home. This is a game that I find fun because it's just, you know, Virginia Tech was one of those that was supposed to be another big brand in the ACC, and they are. They just haven't really, they've really fallen off of late. They went 3-9 last year. Strength of schedule was 75th. Total offense was 119th in the country. Their offense is just poor. Total defense was 58th, so they were okay on defense. Now, you would have to imagine, just like we talked about, before with LSU, they're probably going to be better in year 2, but I just don't see them being able to take a large enough step to go from 3-9 to beating what we feel is going to be a really good FSU team at home, you know, in Doak Campbell Stadium. So I do think Florida State is going to be able to get the win here. This one should probably get out of hand, and you're coming off a bye week, so you have an extra week to prepare and rest up and heal up. You know, to me, I'm looking for a little bit of payback from 2018 because I don't know about you, man. I was hyped up. I was swag surfing in the crowd, you know, with the black uniforms, and I was ready to go, man. I thought we were going to go undefeated. I thought we were getting ready to do something special. And then about the time the game kicked off, we knew this was not going to work out well. They mocked the war chant, mocked the chop inside of Doak. So, you know, like I said, I hope this is a little bit of a payback game against Virginia Tech. And I think it's going to be that way. You know, like I said, they may be better in year 2, but Florida State getting them at home coming off a bye, I just don't see this one being something to overly worry about. And obviously you can't overlook any game. We saw Florida State stumble a few times last year, but, you know, I think this is one that can handle their business. Next up is Syracuse in game 6. They started hot, but they didn't really play anybody at the front end of the schedule. Once they hit the meat of their schedule, they kind of fell off late. They were 7-6 last year at the end of the season. Strength of schedule was 40th, so kind of tough, but not terrible. Total offense was 76, total defense was 21st. They had a good defense last year. Now, again, when you look at last year's game, I didn't quite think it was going to be 38-3. I thought it was going to be a little bit closer than that. Traveling up to all the way to New York, playing in the dome, somewhere they're not really used to playing. That it can be a tricky game with that long travel and playing in the dome on the turf and things like that. That can be a little tough. So for them to be able to go out and beat Syracuse 38-3 like that, now you're getting them at home. Florida State is probably going to, you know, and that was really when Florida State was kind of coming. They were kind of finding themselves after that 3-game losing streak. They beat Georgia Tech and everything like that. But I feel like after the bye, getting a game against Virginia Tech where you should be able to handle your business, I think this is another one that Florida State should be able to get the starters out late in the game and kind of give them a little bit of rest there, because I just think, you know, I don't think Syracuse is going to be able to beat Florida State this year. So I do like Florida State in this one. So we'll see. you know, how that one plays out. Is it going to be a blowout? I'm not 100% sure, but I do think that, you know, Florida State will be able to kind of run away with that one too. So next up, you get Duke at game seven. So Duke finished 9-4 last year, which was huge for that program. Now, I do understand that, you know, a 9-win team for Duke looks like it's going to be a lot harder than maybe you thought Duke was in the past. But what I was talking about early with some smoke and mirrors to that 9-4 record is look at their strength of schedule. So it was 73rd, so not a whole lot of tough teams there. Total offense, they finished 44th. That's not too bad. Defense was 67th. They were pretty good. You know, I think that their coach is – he's a good coach, and I think he, you know, he probably deserved ACC Coach of the Year last year. I know Norvell should have probably got it too if they could have gave it to both of them. Elko's a good coach, and he's – you know, he deserves credit for getting 9 wins at a place like Duke. But here's the thing. So Duke, first off, let's just start by saying they have never beat Florida State in football, ever. So that's kind of already something that you need to keep in mind. They, last year, finishing 9-4, like I said, it does look a little bit harder than what you thought. But when you look at who they beat a lot of bad teams last year. So I do give them credit for the last 2 wins of the season against Wake Forest and UCF. Obviously, we know Wake Forest kind of tanked last year, finishing 8-5, but they beat Florida State. So it was a good win for Duke. And they beat UCF in the bowl game, even though, you know, UCF had just lost to like a 2-win Navy team a couple weeks before that. So, you know, maybe UCF's not quite as good as we thought. You know, they argued with us that they were on par with Florida State and then kind of fell apart late in the season. So, you know, but it was a good win for a team like Duke. However, when you look at 6 of their 8 FBS wins last year, they were against teams with a losing record. That includes 4 wins against 3-win teams and a 1-win Northwestern squad. So, I mean, when you look at some of the teams they beat, they were just bad teams. And when you look at the combined record of all 9 wins, the combined record was 35-57. And that includes a 7-4 FCS team, which is obviously one of the better records of the teams that they played. So to me, I think there was a little bit of smoke and mirrors there with that 9-win season. And they don't get such an easy record this year. You know, they open up with Clemson and they have to play, you know, by the time they get to FSU, they will have already played Clemson, Notre Dame, NC State, a road game against Louisville the week after Florida State. So they're not getting, the ACC didn't do them any favors this year. I honestly expect Duke to probably land somewhere in the 4-6 win range. I think they're going to come back to earth this year. I think, you know, they're better than the Duke you saw in the past. They, you know, it may not be a massive blowout or anything like that, but this is not one that I'm really concerned about. I think Florida State at home is going to be able to handle their business against Duke. Now, the last thing I'll say on Duke is, look, their schedule release videos were hilarious. The one where they had the guy mocking Dabo running onto the field, that was funny. You know, it's all in good humor. You know, that I think it was hilarious. They made fun of Florida State for the crab legs with Jameis Winston. You know, they might need to learn to put some seasoning on their food because those crab legs looked terrible. You know, put some Old Bay on them things. Come on, y'all. But anyway, so the thing is, I feel like they're writing some checks that they can't cash. And I feel like at the end of the season, Duke's not going to be the one who's laughing. I think those videos are going to be some bulletin board material, like I said, for some checks that they probably can't cash. So they're a better team, but I just don't see it. So next up, game 8 is Wake Forest. Of course, you have to travel to Wake Forest. And Wake Forest, like we said, finished 8-5 last year after a hot start. They took Clemson to double overtime. Their strength of schedule was 46 overall. Total offense was 30th. Total defense was 88th. Now, we know Wake Forest has been a thorn in the side of Florida State for the last few years. They just kind of can't seem to really get over the hump of beating Wake Forest. But that's also knowing that they had Sam Hartman for the last, like, 15 and a half years. I mean, the dude probably has, like, 6 master's degrees. He was there so long. He probably had a mortgage by the time he graduated. But the thing is, like, there's no Sam Hartman anymore. He's not there to run that slow mesh offense to perfection like he has for a long time. It'll be interesting to see how he does at Notre Dame, not in that slow mesh offense, which is why I think he transferred before testing the NFL waters, because that was originally his plan. I think he wants to try and prove himself in a traditional offense versus just being labeled as the guy who runs that slow mesh offense. So when you look at Wake Forest, though, now you don't have Sam Hartman. And an equally big loss is A.T. Perry, one of their wide receivers. He was a back-to-back 1,000-yard-plus receiver for Wake Forest. So now you're losing their top receiver and your quarterback, who's been a multi-year starter for them. You know, I made an example last year. I even went down to count snap counts at the school to prove how much more experienced Clemson, Wake Forest, and NC State were than Florida State. Florida State was a really young team, relatively, when you look at how long their players had been at Florida State, versus a team like Wake Forest, who had a lot of those veteran guys, a lot of those super seniors from the COVID year. So now I think some of that's starting to transition out. And I understand you have to play at Wake Forest. It's not like that's a really hard place to play, but it's still on the road. And you know, maybe they have a little bit of more fan support now that they've been doing good. But I just think Florida State is going to be able to handle the business there at Wake Forest, just because you're replacing the quarterback. You don't have that really top-tier quarterback in Sam Hartman. You know, they still run that crazy offense, so, you know, they could give you some fits. But I think Florida State is going to be able to serve Wake Forest a little bit of humble pie this year. You know, last year we saw some of their beat writers, some of their fans, even Dave Doran, or not Dave Doran, that's NC State, even their head coach, they really kind of started to get a little cocky. You know, they kind of let it go to their head. Dave Clawson, that's who I'm thinking of. They kind of let it go to their head. And so when they tumbled late in the season, it was like, okay, well, you know, we'll see how next year goes. But I think Florida State's going to be able to serve them a little bit of humble pie. They do take on a Pitt team the week before FSU, which is a very, you know, Pitt's always usually a physical team, especially in the trenches. So, you know, Florida State's going to be coming off a game against Duke here. Sorry, I lost track. They're going to be coming off a home game against Duke, whereas they're going to be coming off a game against Pitt. So that, you know, that could be a little advantage for Florida State. And I do think Florida State's able to get that one this year. So next up in game 9, you have Pitt on the road. Now, this to me is going to be behind LSU, behind Clemson. This is probably your third hardest game on the schedule because it's on the road. You know, Pitt's a physical team. They're probably going to be one of the only other teams on your schedule that might be ranked, unless Florida has a decent year or something like that. I just don't see too many other teams on the schedule being ranked. So Pitt could be a challenge. They finished 9-4 last year. Strength of schedule is 52nd. They had a total offense of 50th overall, total defense of 23rd. So they had a good defense. But this is, to me, kind of like Duke. There's a little bit of smoke and mirrors for their record as well. So again, they're usually a pretty tough team to play in the trenches. This could be a cold weather game, being that it is later in the year. So that could be something to watch there too. But when you look at now, the thing about Pitt is I'm going to give them credit. They beat UCLA in the bowl game. That was a big win for them. UCLA was a good program last year. And, you know, they ended the season on, I believe it was a 5-game win streak. So that is something that, you know, Pitt's a good program. They're consistently good. But when you look at 5 of their 8 FBS wins last year came against teams with a losing record, similar to what we saw from Duke. They lost to Georgia Tech at home last year when they were ranked. That's, you know, that's tough. So I think they're a very beatable team, even at home. You know, they lose Keaton Slovis, who transferred in from USC. He's gone now. But you do get Phil Dracovic. So you get that familiar face from a different team. But he's going to be in a new seat, a new system at a new team. Me personally, I've never been on the Phil Dracovic hype train. I know he's a big quarterback with, I think he's like 6'5", 200-something pounds. He's got a strong arm. He's got some good you know, mechanics that could make him a good quarterback. But the thing is with Dracovic, I understand he suffered behind offensive line issues for basically his entire career at BC. But he also had Zay Flowers. Now, Pitt has a good receiver too. But when you look at, you know, he had Zay Flowers and all that, one of the most dynamic receivers in the ACC while he was at Boston College. I just don't think he's going to be the guy to put them over the top. I mean, Slovis threw for over 2,000 yards. I think it was like, it was pretty good, like 2,500 yards last year. So to me, I'm not so much worried about necessarily their offense. You kind of focus on the defense for Pitt. But again, there might be some smoke and mirrors there too. So they, like we mentioned, they did finish 23rd in total defense last year. However, in the 3 games where they played against top 20 offenses, that was Tennessee, North Carolina, and UCLA, they gave up 34, 42, and 28 offensive points. That doesn't count defensive touchdowns or anything like that. So, you know, you're giving up an average of 30 plus points to any offense that is top 20. And we know Florida State also had a top 20 offense, and we expect them to probably be top 10 in offense next season. So to me, when you really start to kind of get into the nuts and bolts of how they came about that 9-4 record, how they performed against some of the teams on their schedule, I think this is a game that it's going to be kind of tough, but Florida State should be able to win this one. So now Pitt will also be coming off back-to-back road games against Wake Forest and Notre Dame, which again, I feel is kind of a benefit for Florida State because Notre Dame obviously should be a, you know, a pretty good team this year. And then, you know, Wake Forest, I'm not overly sold on Wake Forest, but you got back-to-back road games there too. So to me, that benefits Florida State. Now, moving on to the next game, game 10, Miami. You get Miami at home. Obviously, anything can go in a rivalry game, but you know, Miami finished 5-7 last year. Strength of schedule was 66. They really didn't play anybody all that tough besides Florida State. You know, Texas A&M kind of fell apart. They didn't even play an FBS game or, excuse me, a Power 5 game until I think it was like week 5. You know, they got blown out by Middle Tennessee State. They got blown out by Duke. They got blown out by Florida State. So they just, I mean, to me, I'm sure this goes again to the mantra of it's going to be year two under the new staff. They already changed offensive coordinators, and we don't even know who their offensive coordinator is at the time of recording this. They just fired Gattis. They're looking for a new guy. So while you are going to get that year two bump a little bit by being more familiar in the system, now you could be starting over with another different offense, another new install. Now they're going to have 10 games, you know, or however many they had before this to kind of get going, to get familiar, but I just don't see them being able to close a 42-point gap in one season. You know, they lost a lot of guys to the portal. Will Mallory was a guy. You got Daryl Jackson, who was a starter for them up on defense. You know, Tyler Van Dyke was inconsistent last year, looked terrible in that offense. Jake Garcia is no longer there, so they don't have the backup that they turned to. So to me, I mean, November is going to be an action-packed month. You have a game, a road game at Pitt, which should be a good game. You have your two biggest rival games 2 weeks apart. But the thing is, again, like this is going to be the last big home game for Florida State, you know, because the last home game of the season is North Alabama, you know. But so this is, it's going to be packed because if this team is good, say Florida State, you know, at this point at game 10 of the season is maybe 10-0, 9-1 or something like that, that attendance is going to be up. People are going to want to watch this team. People are going to want to turn out and come see this team play. So you can say, I saw them in the year, you know, in that year. It's like 2013. But the thing with that is you're going to get them in a loud, raucous Doak Campbell Stadium at home after you beat them 45-3 last year. You know, I'm not sold on Mario Cristobal as a coach, me personally. Oregon fans were excited to see him leave, and Oregon's been fine without him. So I think he meddles in the offense a little bit too much, and we saw that be part of the problem last year. I think maybe they moved on. You know, they fired a Broyles Award winner just a year ago because, they just didn't cut it on offense last year. So I just don't see them being able to win, to close a 42-point gap in a year. I mean, they had plenty of talent to beat a team like Duke, to beat a team like Middle Tennessee State, and they didn't. So to me, that comes down to coaching and game planning, and I just don't see that being the case to be an advantage for them. I think Florida State has a better staff. I think Florida State has a better team, a better roster. So I think Florida State's going to be able to handle their business there, make it three in a row over the Canes, probably even in a big fashion there. So to me, I'm going to take Florida State at home against Miami next year. Then you have game 11, North Alabama. There's really not much to talk about here. So we'll just make it quick. 2022, they went 1-10 as an FCS team. They played one FBS team last year, which was Memphis, who beat them 59-0. So realistically, to me, North Alabama is a game that you really just want to jump out early, get your starters out, get the depth players some experience there, and avoid injury. That's it. This game, nothing more, nothing less. This is the cupcake game. Give me the Noles by whatever they feel like scoring that day. So then moving on to close out the regular season against Florida. Now, this year you do have to go against to the Swamp against Florida. The thing is, I feel like Florida, this is probably maybe your fourth toughest game on the schedule just because I think it was closer last year than I expected it to be. Now, again, they don't have Anthony Richardson this year, and they lost over 20 guys to the portal. They had a mass exodus there. They lost a lot of their offensive line. That's going to be hard to replace. It's going to be hard to kind of get in rhythm with those guys, kind of starting from scratch. And if the bowl game was any indication of how life after Anthony Richardson is, who really wasn't even that great, he just had a lot of potential. If that's any indication of how things are going to go for them, it's not going to be good, because they got blown out by I think it was Oregon State in a bowl game by 30 points. So, you know, it's just to me, I think Napier is probably a better coach than Mario Cristobal. I think he's not bad. But, you know, you shouldn't have lost to Vanderbilt last year. You shouldn't have, some of their losses were just inexcusable. So to me, looking at who they have this year, you're bringing in Graham Mertz from Wisconsin. And hey, look, we know all too well how Wisconsin transfer quarterbacks work out. So, you know, if that's who they're hanging their hat on, it might be a long year for them. Now, they do have two good backs in ETN and Montrell Johnson. So they're going to probably have a good running game. But, you know, to me, going to the Swamp is going to make it a little tougher than being at home last year. But I think Florida is going to take a step back next year, where Florida State's going to take another step forward. So, I mean, honestly, if they have another bad season, another losing season, say they have another embarrassing loss like Vandy or something like that, I mean, I think Napier's seat's going to start to get hot. They're not going to wait too long, especially with Georgia being the way they are, Tennessee being the way they are, South Carolina in the SEC East is even coming up. So I don't think they're going to put up with that for too long, especially when, like, I mean, their recruiting might be okay, but, like, you know, when you're having to rely on a guy, when you're only able to bring in a guy like Graham Mertz or something, a quarterback, and he may be fine. I just don't see that being the case. That I think Florida State will be able to win this game. To be perfectly honest, my biggest concern in this game, and this is something that I'm concerned with and also not at the same time, because Mike Norvell talks about two main games throughout the season, Florida and Miami. They know those games mean more to this program than any other game on that schedule. And they do things to prepare for those games throughout the year. He's already acknowledged that. So I don't think you're going to get look ahead in a rivalry game, especially with kind of the way things went last year, being closer, being heated and stuff like that. But the reason I say I'm a little concerned is you could potentially have another big game the next week on the horizon in the ACC championship, potentially against Clemson, another big rematch. So maybe there's a little distraction there looking ahead the next week, but that's really my main concern, being on the road and potentially having a big game the next week. But I still think Florida State is going to be the better team. I think they have a better quarterback. I think they have a better defense by far. You know, Florida struggled on defense last year. You know, they were 97th in total defense. They were 38th in total offense again, but you're not going to have Anthony Richardson, who was kind of one of the main reasons why they were able to do what they did on offense last year. So I do think Florida State should be able to win that game. And just kind of wrapping up then, moving into my final parts of the schedule here, my final thoughts here. I do think, like I said, I think this sets up pretty nice for Florida State. You get a chance to gauge your season in the month of September. You get to come out and you get to prove yourself. You know, you get to play that Clemson game there. Sorry, I don't know what happened there. But you get to play those two games early in the season. So you kind of get to lay the foundation for the rest of your season. If you win both of those games, you know, there's a pretty good chance that you're going to already be top 3 to 5, because that's going to be two of the best wins in college football next year, depending on how those team seasons shake out. So I do think you also, if you were to drop one, like we said, you get time to recover. And so I think that, you know, I don't think it's bad, because I think if you can get to October at 4-0, 3-1, I think you have a legit chance to kind of run the table late in the season. So to me, I think the schedule is not bad. I think it sets up okay. I think it's a little weird to have, like I said, to have those two games kind of back to the rivalry games close like that. But, you know, Miami normally tanks later in the season anyway, so that's probably a good thing to get them there. There may be some quit in Miami by then anyway. So just kind of looking at the season goals for me personally, again, guys, like I said, winning a national championship and going undefeated is a lot harder than I think people just assume Florida State's going to go 12-0 and win the national championship because they brought some guys back. Look, I mean, they brought a lot of good players in. They have a lot more quality depth than they did in the past. But you still have teams like Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State out there who are stacked on their rosters. And, you know, I mean, obviously if TCU can get there, I think Florida State can get there because I think Florida State in 2023 will be a better team than TCU was last year. You know, I don't think Florida State even would have lost 65-7 TCU did to Georgia. But at the same time, I don't think them not going undefeated and winning a national title is a letdown. I think, to me, you want to get, at a minimum, double-digit regular season wins. I don't think you want to lose both Clemson and LSU. You know, I mean, I would hate for them to slip up against – I'd rather them lose those two than, like, have a slip up against Pitt or something like that. And, of course, this is all barring how healthy Florida State is able to stay. You know, you need Jordan Travis to be at the helm throughout the entire season. But the knock on Florida State last year was they kind of lost the better competition, the games to the better competition on their schedule. So it'd kind of be a disappointment if you lost to both of those teams. But to me, if you can get to double digit wins in the regular season, no worse than 10-2. I think if you finish below 10-2 with all the pieces you brought in, all the pieces you brought back, and all the chips that you pushed into the table for 2023. To me, 9-3 is a disappointment next year. I think you want to go at a minimum of 10-2. I think you want to contend for an ACC title, and, you know, more than likely you want to win, obviously. But if you can go, say, you know, 11-2 at the worst with an ACC title and be in contention for the college football playoff, or at least in a New Year's Six bowl game in the Orange Bowl, and carry that momentum into a good recruiting class, which 2024 is already shaping up to do, I think that's still a really good season because you have turned the tide in the conference. And, you know, I mean, we're talking about a team going from being 5-7 in 2021 and losing to Jacksonville State, starting 0-4, to being disappointed 2 years later if they don't win the national title. I don't think that's the case, but, you know, it's a different game than it used to be. You now have NIL where you can bring these players back. You now have the transfer portal where you can add, like we always talk about, you can manage your roster like an NFL roster. You can get the pieces you need to be successful right now. So it is different. I mean, you do have to grade it knowing those things. But at the same time, I just think knowing that you were where you were in 2021, you know, winning 10 games in the regular season, getting an ACC title and playing in the Orange Bowl is a successful season for this program because you turn the tide in the conference. You shift the powers back towards FSU in the ACC. You know, obviously, if you can get into the playoffs as the ACC champion, which is a very good chance, of course, you have a puncher's chance at the national title game. Getting there. So I do think that's, you know, that's a good thing, obviously, because you always want a chance to win the whole thing there. You know, and of course, going forward after this season, you know, with a 12-team playoff, if you're a 11-2 ACC championship or something like that, you're going to make it into the playoffs. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's just you're still under the 4-team playoff this year. So, but like I said, I think if you are able to finish, you know, 10-2, and in the regular season and win that ACC championship game over a potential, you know, another, say, Clemson's still somewhere top 15-ish and you're able to get a third ranked win or something like that. You know, I think you have a good chance there. I think Florida State should finish at least 11-1 in the regular season. I think that's probably your most likely game because, they could slip up. You know, we saw they weren't perfect last year. They should have won the NC State game. They couldn't even get a field goal in the second half to win that game. They gave up a 28-0 run to Wake Forest. You can't let that happen this year. You can't have 2 minutes of bad football against Clemson where they get out to a lead that you put yourself in a hole you can't dig out of. So again, like I said, to me, I think you're the exciting thing is knowing that 12-0 is on the table, you know, in the regular season. 13-0 with an ACC championship is on the table. This team is good enough. We've seen the way they played last year, and they filled a lot of the gaps that they needed to fill to take that next step forward. So I do think that it is exciting knowing that that is on the table. And I also just say that if they're able to reach those goals to where you win the ACC title and you get double-digit regular season wins, that's still a good season for this team. So that's just kind of my overall thoughts on the schedule. You know, everybody's going to find a way to be disappointed in the schedule, no matter how it shakes out. But, you know, like we said, Bobby Bowden always said, anyone, anytime, anywhere. So you can't be scared of competition at a place like Florida State. You can't be scared of a Wake Forest or anything like that. You know, if you want to get to the place they want to be in 2023, you're going to have to play those hard games. And like I said, I would much rather be battle tested if they are to make it into the playoffs than to come in, you know, with a soft schedule and end up kind of getting a reality check. So I do like that they have a couple tough games on here. I do like that you get LSU at a neutral site at least. But I think it sets it well for what they want to do. And, you know, overall, like I said, guys, I mean, I think 2023 is going to be an exciting year for Florida State. I think it's going to be a fun year. You have a lot of games that should probably be a blowout. And, you know, maybe it's not a bad thing to be having chest pains and trouble breathing while you're watching the games every single Saturday. You know, I like to be able to sit back and relax in the fourth quarter of some of these games. But you also want to be thrilled, too. You know, the home slate's not overly exciting. You know, you don't really, you know, maybe Miami's your most exciting home game there. So that's a little bit of a disappointment. But, you know, Florida State could go undefeated at home, and that's never a bad thing, you know, even if you can't help the teams on your schedule. And, of course, these teams have the portal too. You know, they could be better next year. You could see some teams take a step forward next year. So you could have some tougher teams than maybe you expected. You know, maybe Pitt is ranked when you play them. Maybe Florida's even ranked when you play them. Probably not Miami, but, you know, who knows? So, like, you just have to kind of wait for things to shake out later towards the season. Like I said, how the portal works out, how some coaching changes work out, who Miami's going to hire as offensive coordinator, all those things matter. So we're going to revisit this later in the season. This is just kind of my initial thoughts on how everything's going to go game by game. But overall, I think it's going to be a fun and exciting year, and I can't wait for it to kick off. That, like I said, that LSU game is going to be probably one of, if not the games of the year in all of college football. So I'm super excited about it. And that's going to pretty much wrap it up here, guys. So I appreciate everybody tuning in. I got some more things. You know, it's the dead period now after February 1st, so there's not a whole lot going on. National Signing Day was pretty much just adding a bunch of preferred walk-on players, so not a whole lot to talk about there. But I do have some things coming out. We're going to do a couple little short video series looking at 2023. So make sure to be on the lookout for that. Of course, you can always find everything we do at plantthespear.com. I do have an article going game by game doing this breakdown that you can read there if you'd like. So make sure to check that out. And if you enjoyed this video, of course, guys, as always, you know, I appreciate a like and subscribe if you don't mind. We're just trying to build a community here and just something that everybody can enjoy as a bunch of Florida State fans coming together to talk about our favorite team. So with that being said, guys, we'll go ahead and wrap it up here. And as always, I appreciate everybody tuning in, and we'll end it like we always do with a Go Noles.